broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you all along, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for May the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Andy Mangione with us, AMAC.us. Welcome back, my good friend.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. Good to be back.
There's so much to talk about, so little time, and I want to just tell you a quick story and get your opinion on this. So I got super sick right at the beginning of January. It was a respiratory problem. I got super sick. I had headaches. I had fever. I had a little bit of stomach problems. I had a hard time breathing big time. I had aches and pains. I had loss of smell, loss of taste. Anyway, bottom line is I went and they said, hey, you got some Bell's palsy going on, buddy. And so I worked through that. Some of the symptoms of Bell's palsy are gone now. Some of them are still here a little bit. But I did more and more and more research, and it turns out that there's a variety of problems that I have. I did a CT scan on my neck and on my jaw and on my back, my head. I've done a bunch of things. Anyway, it's a long, complicated health issue that is continuing, and we don't even have all the answers to it. But suffice it to say, and I tell you this story because I really thought I had the coronavirus. I just took an antibody test, which is not the test to see if you currently live have it or not. It's not the swab test. It's a blood test. I went to ARUP Lab, one of the most credible labs in the country, and I got this test done. It was very difficult to get done. You got to have a doctor's order, and anyway, you got to do all these things to get it done. And my test came back negative. And on one hand, I'm jumping for joy. On the other hand, I'm super sad. I'm jumping for joy because, well, hey, at least I didn't have the corona. On the other hand, I almost wish I had it and had the antibodies by now. It would explain some of the sickness that I've had. I bring this all up because it's a very scary time we're in. And you know what? Everybody thinks everything is corona these days, but it's not, first of all, Andy.
No. No, Sam, you know, not being a medical expert, you know, let's throw that disclaimer out there. Number one, I'm glad you're feeling better. And boy, it sure sounded like you were describing coronavirus symptoms, particularly with a loss of taste. People have experienced that. But what we desperately need right now is perspective, and we're not getting the perspective. And what we need right now, we're getting transparency from the White House. We're getting transparency from President Trump's coronavirus task force. We are getting that. I know that because I'm seeing all the updates that come directly from the administration, and we're putting them on the AMAC.us website. What we're not getting is perspective. We're not seeing Dr. Brix say that she thinks that the CDC is overinflating COVID-19 deaths by 25%.
Oh, we reported on Liberty Roundtable, buddy, because she's right.
I'm sure you did, you know, but you're not seeing that plastered across the mainstream, and I'm not deluding myself to think that you would, but we're not seeing that. Okay?
You're right. Unfortunately, you're right as rain.
You know, and I commend you and salute you for sharing that information, okay? What we need is perspective. What people don't realize is that half the deaths in Pennsylvania were in nursing homes. Now, I'm sorry for everybody that died. I am. I truly am. And this is horrible. And shame on China for unleashing a virus, a new strain of a virus that added to the deaths that we forecast every flu season for flu A and B. All right? So we've got this new, you know, we've got this new strain. So these deaths are on top of what we were forecast, okay? But let's take a number. Let's take a look at the number of deaths, and let's take a look at the cause. You've got physicians that are not doing autopsies, okay? If somebody comes in with a respiratory issue, they are directed by the hospital to code these deaths at COVID-19. What if it was bacterial pneumonia? All of a sudden, those cases have dropped. These are just observations I'm making, Sam. I am not a medical professional, okay? But these are things that are out there that are easily, these issues and these items that I'm talking about are easily researchable. It's a simple internet search, and you could take a look at you know, how these things are being coded. Doctors are frustrated. There's a financial incentive to code these deaths for the hospitals. We're just being, you know, part of this is, yes, early on in this pandemic, Sam, we didn't know what we were dealing with, and you had to lock things down, okay? The picture is getting brighter, clearer, and curve, if you will, is being flattened, and people are realizing that this is comparative to other viruses. This is a flu that has that affects compromised older people mainly. Now, there are always going to be outliers. There's always going to be some younger people getting it. There's always going to be outliers. But if you're older of a certain age and you smoked, you have COPD, or if you are asthmatic, you're at a higher risk, just like other flus. But we're not getting perspective, and people desperately want it because you have to be hearing from your listeners, Sam, how tired people are of being being preached to and talked down to and directed how to live their lives. People want to get back to work.
Making people feel like, hey, if you don't do exactly what they say to do, that you're somehow irresponsible and you're going to just kill everyone due to your irresponsibility. And I bring this up because what we need is accurate, clear, concise, transparent information on this as it really comes out. And I know some of it we don't know and we haven't known. I get that. But I also get that we need to be very transparent, not one-sided, not manipulative, not pushing an agenda. It needs to be transparent. Now, AMAC.us, folks, the reason I'm bringing this whole thing up, has a headline at the top of their news page that says this: stay informed on the coronavirus, COVID-19, Medicare updates, prevention, and more. There's a lot of definitive information there that you guys have put together that's kind of a one-size shop. You can get caught up and get the headlines and the changes as it unfolds.
Yes, sir. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to put information on there, and we wish that this was being shared. This is coming right from the administration. So when you see all the coordination between the private and the public sector, it's right from the horse's mouth, if you will. And when you see the effort, the constant effort, this has been round the clock. It's impressive, and we want people to feel good about what their government is doing for them. Now, I'm talking about the federal government, president, and we strive to make that resource a source of information that people can share. The feedback from the information that we've been putting up there has been very good, and we're not going to break our arms patting ourselves on the back here, Sam. We're trying to do what's responsible.
Yes, but we do want people to know where to go for reliable information, though. That's critical.
Yes, sir, and we appreciate being on programs like yours, so we can tell people to go to AMAC.us and hit the special coronavirus section. We've broken it down into several tabs, so you can see economic developments, employment information, administrative updates, AMAC's response, because we've responded, we've supported some very significant legislation. We feel our members want China held accountable, and we can get to that in a second. Pardon me, Sam, but getting back to the news, but so we've broken it down into specific sections, different tabs. There's a Medicare tab for our members to show what CMS has done to expand benefits. And we want people to feel good. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We understand that, but it's not all doom and gloom. And we wanted to, it's not alternative information. It's direct from the administration. It's factual without any, you know, we're not putting any bias in here because we're just taking what the administration is giving us, looking at it. And we're talking, when I say administration, I'm talking we're getting information from the FDA, from CMS, from other federal agencies, from the Labor Department, from the IRS with regard to the Paycheck Protection Program. So, you know, and we're just taking their information and posting it. And there's other people that may be doing this, but you're not going to find this information on a mainstream news site. I guarantee you that.
Well, and even if you do find the information, they only quote from one or two sources oftentimes, which doesn't have the whole story. I'll give you an example. Last hour, we played a soundbite from a rally in California, Riverside County, California, where this doctor, his name is Dr. Jeffrey Bark. He's a professor. He's well known. He's board certified as a family medicine doctor. And he gives a powerful COVID speech that talks about, hey, this stuff is bad, and it's not anything to mess with or mock, for sure. It's dangerous. But at the same time, we're not getting correct information. He literally points out that he represents thousands of physicians across the country. Okay, this is the kind of stuff that people need to know about. That video is incredible. His speech is poignant. It really puts things in perspective to where, hey, we need to live our lives, and I don't want anybody to die prematurely. But you know what? Nobody gets out of this place alive, sir. And you know what? You're going to die of something.
Right.
And if you've lived a good, honest life, why is it okay to die of lung cancer or okay to die of pneumonia? But by golly, you better not die of the COVID, because that would be horrible. Okay, that's a lot. That isn't true.
Yeah. I mean, again, not to downplay what's going on, but I, you know, look at the hospital occupancy rates, okay? Look at all of the field hospitals, Sam, that were put up at the expense.
They didn't even get used hardly.
They're being dismantled, okay? And the hospitals have the capacity. I have a source that works at the Cleveland Clinic Foundation. And they have, they're going to be looking at opening up elective surgery because they have the operating room space and they have the bed space.
And that, by the way, my friend, is exciting.
Yes, and that is good news. Okay, that's good news. So the hospital, we paused and we locked down to ensure that we had the capacity in our health community to deal with what was going to be forecast as hundreds of thousands of cases, and that didn't materialize. The models were so wrong, you couldn't be more wrong, okay, and not credible. So people are
But that's because Anthony Fauci has been at the helm of this thing, and this guy's been a panic peddler forever.
It's very interesting. I'm sure by now you saw that YouTube video that has since been taken down of those two doctors. I think they were in Bakersfield, California.
Yes, we talked about them quite a bit. I don't know why their video's taken down, though. They're agreeing with this other doctor that I just mentioned as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, well, I mean, we know why, you know, I mean, because, YouTube is not the platform that they purport to be. But it was very interesting. And one of the questions, you could tell it was, and I'm sure that you analyzed this, if you recall, it looked like it was an impromptu press conference and they were sitting in a conference room. And you couldn't see who was asking questions, but some smarmy voice off camera went, oh, what about Dr. Fauci? What do you think about Dr. Fauci? And he said, hey, we like Dr. Fauci. He just hasn't seen a patient in 20 years.
Well, and the reality is this, even if Dr. Fauci has his opinion, you know what? We want to back things with science. We also want to accept that there might be different views on something. Why don't we hear all of them make up our own minds, huh?
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Andy Mangione with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about AMAC.us doing a phenomenal job, a great solution to point out what's going on with the COVID-19 reality check and, you know, where you ought to be. Transparent, good, solid, well-researched information from many sources. And I pointed out again, Andy's kind of, you know, careful to say, hey, we're not trying to pat ourselves on the back. And I get that. I agree with him. I understand. At the same time, his scholarly work is being done there. And if you want reliable information, I'm confident that you're going to get the straight scoop, the best they've got it, at amac.us. And it's really important for people to know where to go. A lot of people are just kind of confused. Should I wear a mask? Shouldn't I wear a mask? And should I this? And should I that? And should I self-quarantine? And should I get tested? And what should I do? And the panic and the manipulation of the media is just astonishing.
Yeah.
It is at epic levels. And we've got to point people to stable. calm down, folks. Here's the reality. Here's what's going on. Here's where we are. Here's what you should do. Look, if you have underlying health conditions, folks, this is not to be taken lightly. If you have, if you're elderly and you believe somebody's vulnerable, you should do your very best. Of course, respecting their agency and their choices as well. You should respect them and help them and isolate them if necessary, or quarantine them, or whatever words you want to use to protect them. But again, it's up to them. I've got an elderly relative. And I said, you know, do you want to stay isolated? And they're like, no. Look, I'm 77 or whatever years old I am. And if I die from the corona, I die from the corona. But what I'm not going to do is spend the next 3 years of my life isolated and not see anybody and then die of something else. I'd rather see my loved ones and give hugs and smiles and spend my time. And if I die in 6 months because of the corona, I got to die of something. I've lived a wonderful life and I don't want to die early. But I also want to spend time with those I care about. If I want something in the last years of my life, that's what it is. Spend time with loved ones. You know what? I got a lot of respect for that view, Andy.
You know, you sound like Governor Christie up in South Dakota.
Yeah, Governor Christie. Much. It's actually Christie, and then there's a last name, right?
Nome, right. N-O-M,
yeah, Christie,
right.
Nome. She's spot on. I agree with this.
Yeah, yeah. You know, now granted, I know you're looking at South Dakota, and you've got less than a million people there. It's a state that only has one congressional representative, and that used to be her before she ran for governor.
Governor, that's right.
So she's at large, but she knows her state, and she's confident that her people, you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. Okay, if you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. You assume the risk just like you do when you get behind the wheel of a car. And you're right. You know, let's focus on the most vulnerable. Okay, AMAC is member of a we're a member of a coalition of patient and physician advocates, and so we're, you know, when they open up DC, we'll be back there. Okay, but so we're plugged into many different views. We're talking with physicians. We're talking with patient advocates. We're plugged into people that want to reform healthcare overall. But right now, as we all are, we're all focused on the COVID-19 pandemic. And you know, when I talked about the in Pennsylvania, half the deaths there have been in nursing homes. You could extrapolate that to all of the deaths that have been reported to the CDC, regardless of how they coded them, okay?
That's right. And even Deborah Birx says she believes that it's 25% inflated, very likely. And we also know that they've been adding, quote, probable to the number. And I'll give you an example. I thought probable-wise, I really had the corona. Okay? I mean, I had every symptom you can think of. Now I understand it's traced to different things. But my point is, you can't just do the probable thing.
If you would have went in a month later, they would have probably, well, you know, but you did have follow-up tests. But who knows? You know, the doctor said, but we got a COVID-19 case here. And even if they ran tests and they discovered it was some other organic issue, Sam, it may have been coded. You may have been counted as a COVID-19 exposure. Who knows? But the point that I'm making, like, at least half the deaths that's being reported have been among nursing home residents.
Yeah, and in Utah, it's way beyond that.
Likely. You know, to have underlying health conditions. I'm sorry.
No problem. The amount of deaths in Utah are like 70-something. Kurt, I don't have the latest number. I'll have to look it up today because you got to do real time. But most of them, like 90% of them, has been elderly people in some type of facility and then with underlying conditions, almost every single one of them.
Yeah, right. And I feel this, it's, you know, again, shame on China for unleashing this on these poor people. And I feel horrible for their families. I feel horrible that they passed away.
Now, the interesting thing about this is AMAC supports bill to place temporary restrictions on acquisitions by the People's Republic of China. I don't know that we ought to do temporary on that, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is an interesting bill, and I'm glad that you brought it up. Now, there's going to be a whole spate of legislation, Sam, that's going to be coming out of D.C. to hold China accountable. Now, let me back this up. We ran a poll. This is not the first piece of legislation that we're supporting with regard to China. We ran a poll and asked our members, you know, how China should be held accountable. And they want them held accountable. They want them held accountable financially. They want to bring businesses back to the United States. You know, they want incentives to do that. But you know, there's our economy needs to be made whole. And what this legislation that you're talking about, this is House Resolution 6706. It was introduced by Jim Banks. He's out of the 3rd Congressional District in Indiana. And what he wants to do is take a look at the Defense Production Act and expand it, okay, to prevent. Right now, he doesn't want any Chinese investment in businesses that are critical to America's national security. and he listed those in the Defense Production Act. And the president expanded that list to include medical items like ventilators and other protective gear and instruments that our community uses to combat the disease. But what he wants to do is expand this to include industries such as media outlets, energy companies, and other agricultural interests. But he'll allow the bill to sunset or to go away at the discretion of the President of the United States. And the president will determine once our economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic is complete and substantial, and then I guess they'll allow for Chinese investment. Now, I know what our members will think about this. Our members will want to make this permanent. But this is we haven't seen a bill that makes it permanent. When the bill came out, we took a look at it. We thought it was a good first step. These things could always be altered. It was just introduced. It hasn't been, you know, they haven't haggled over it yet. But it does give the sunsetting of the bill gives that authority to the president. And if this president is reelected, I'm comfortable with that. It would be nice, however, if this was a permanent situation, that we wouldn't allow for investment in any American industry that's relative to our national security by Chinese investments. So, I mean, it calls out, doesn't call out China. It identifies China for what it is. That's the People's Republic of China, which is a communist government.
This is serious, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of good things going on that you got to be aware of. You got to know about. There's polls going on at AMAC.us that really get kind of a flavor of what, you know, you would say what the old people are thinking, because AMAC is for seniors, right? But there's a lot of younger people involved, number one. But number two, you know, there's this one guy that was on in the media. He's an older gentleman. He was on in the media. He's now passed away. His name was Gordon B. Hinckley. But anyway, they looked at him and they said, you know, what do you think? Everybody's saying that you're super old and stuff like that, and that you're out of touch. And he goes, isn't it wonderful that we have all this wisdom and experience?
You betcha.
And this is the reason I bring this up, is because this is a think tank of 2+ million of the most experienced people on the planet, sir.
Well, you know, and we are a member-driven organization, and I cannot stress that enough. We do not sit in a room and decide what we're going to support, what we're not going to support, okay? Our members direct us in that initiative. So we already have a large a seniors organization that does that. We talk to our members. When I mentioned that we polled our members on China, okay, and on legislation, well, for instance, we supported a bill that was introduced by Senator Cotton, Senator Blackburn, and Senator Cruz together. And what it would do would be it wants to cut our dependence on China for pharmaceuticals. Now, 80% of the active ingredients in a pharmaceutical are made in China.
Now, and by the way, in addition to this legislation, this really backs up Trump's early initiatives on this as well, right?
Oh, he looks like a soothsayer, okay? Ever since he was campaigning, he identified China as not being very friendly to the United States, as China as the problem. Not only that, but his administration, the now exonerated General Flynn, identified China and not Russia as the problem in the world. Okay, President Trump has been right about this from day one. But when we're talking about this legislation, we ran a poll by our members running the legislation by them, and ultimately would decrease our dependence on pharmaceutical products and what are made in China. I mentioned that the active ingredients, the vast majority of active ingredients in a drug are made in China, then they come back to the United States to be finished. But that active ingredient is what makes the drug work, okay? And China has proven to be less than honorable throughout this pandemic when they threatened our drug supply chain and the medical supply chain early on in the pandemic, when we were calling them out rightfully for being the cause of the pandemic. So we've got to really examine our relationship with China, and our members are all over it. They were overwhelmingly in favor of legislation that would reduce our dependence on China for prescription drugs and other pharmaceuticals.
That's amazing work, folks. Something you need to be aware of, something that's going on. Right. All right. Now, AMAC is involved in a bunch of things, and we're just getting started, folks. Andy Mangione with me, AMAC.us. Become a member today. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. AMAC joins coalition to urge Congress to keep unnecessary spending out of the, what do you call this thing? Phase 4 pandemic package. Hold on, folks.
Pursuing liberty. using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
First-time jobless claims just under 3 million last week, according to the government. The 2.98 million Americans filing initial claims for jobless benefits were 195,000 fewer than the week before, but it pushed the total for the past 8 weeks to around 36 million first-time claims. Grocery prices up by the largest one-month increase in 50 years, as people are staying home in the face of the pandemic, Iowa State University agriculture economist Chad Hart explains.
That transferred a lot of that food being demanded away from home to at home, which meant grocery stores. And so we are seeing more demand at the grocery stores. And anytime you see more demand, it tends to lead to higher prices.
U.S. officials say poultry prices are up 4%. Beef is up by 7%. And this is USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Each policy points and availability vary by state.
A big storm expected to start forming soon that could turn Florida beaches into danger zones through the upcoming weekend. The tropical or subtropical storm is forecast to generate dangerous waves and life-threatening rip currents along Florida's beaches before it then starts producing rain. Forecasters say they expect increasing chances of rain from late today into tomorrow. Former VP Joe Biden will take part in a virtual town hall event at 10 o'clock Eastern Time tonight on MSNBC. During Mass this morning, Pope Francis calling for prayer not just to end the coronavirus pandemic, but all pandemics.
The different religious traditions are praying to God, all brothers and sisters, united in this brotherhood.
The pontiff speaking there through a translator also saying humanity needs to put an end to the pandemics of hunger and war. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Andy Mangione, doing a great job for AMAC.us. Yeah, this is serious business, folks. He's the vice president of the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC.us. And this headline, AMAC joins coalition to urge Congress to keep unnecessary spending out of the Phase 4 pandemic package. Are we on Phase 4 or Phase 5? I don't know. They're spending so much money, I can't keep track, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, and I want to, you know, just kind of qualify this. Our members are not happy with all this spending. We are not happy with all of this spending. Politicians in a crisis want to go big and go fast. Now, when we were looking at Phase 3, okay, what we can do is recommend to Congress that if you're going to spend this money, regardless of our protestations, okay, spend it wisely. And in Phase 3, we were able to get some really good language into that bill that would help our members and would help the senior community, not just AMAC members, but all Americans. Things like we had the required minimum distribution for IRA account holders suspended because those accounts were devalued and people would be forced to make a required minimum distribution at a loss. So they suspended that. They listened to us. We were also able to get any penalty for taken away for people that wanted to access their retirement accounts to kind of bridge the gap between now and when the economy rebounds. We were able to do that. We were able to get Social Security, the feds from garnishing Social Security for seniors who had co-signed for student loans. We don't think that Social Security should be garnished by the federal government for any reason, but we were able to get that taken out. So we sent a list of recommendations for phase three, and we're looking at phase four.
And we're working on basically being prudent and careful. The greatest think tank of the elderly in America is saying, hey, you know what? We need to be really careful here. I get that we're in panic situations, but let's step back and be prudent, not panicked. Let's look at this in a meaningful way and do what needs to be done. But let's make sure we're very careful on how we go about this. In fact, Kurt, you have a headline that kind of highlights this point. Headline says Dems working on $2,000 a month payments for high schoolers, Kurt.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sam. And, you know, I look at it and think all they're really doing is just trying to figure out, hey, where else can they buy some votes? And that's really what typically, you know, the typical politician does, hand out some cash, even if the money's coming from the same people you hand it out to, that's how they get votes, right?
Yeah, read the rest of the headline, though, because it's not only high schoolers they want to give $2,000 to.
Well, good point. They talk about this as being this universal basic income, you know, that's what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah, and then the rest of the headline talks about they want to have handouts for illegals and new stimulus.
Oh, good point.
I mean, when is this going to end, Andy?
It ends now, you know. Kurt makes a great point. This is an election year bill, okay? And it's you're looking at the list of goodies. And what AMAC did was point that out along with 18 or 17 other conservative organizations in Washington. We notified the majority leader of the Senate, Senator Mitch McConnell, Speaker of the House Pelosi, Minority Leader McCarthy, Minority Leader Schumer in the Senate, McCarthy in the House, to let them know that we're watching this. We're looking at what the Democrats want to put in there. They want to forgive $10,000 in student loan debt per borrower. They want to bail out the United States Postal Service, which is already deeply in debt for years. They want to expand broadband, okay? In addition to what Kurt mentioned, giving money to illegal aliens in the United States. Just throwing out people's cash. This is an on-ramp. What they're doing, they're going to go as far as they possibly can.
And by the way, they're going to lie and say because we don't, they're going to lie, Andy, too, and say because we don't want to give money to illegals and illegal activity that we're somehow anti-immigration. Let's be clear. That's not true at all.
Oh, yeah.
We're fine with the right people coming and following our laws and embracing the American dream and doing it right. We're all good with those things because every one of us almost comes from an immigrant family. We get it. At the same time, we say it's got to be done lawfully and legally. It's got to be done right. And then, hey, in America, within reason, the more the merrier.
There's rules, okay? And there's rules to follow, and people follow it, and it absolutely right, okay? And we're going to be tarred and feathered. I mean, all you have to do is object slightly, and they'll call you a racist, a whatever, phobic, okay? A nationalist, a nativist, whatever, okay? I'm going to be tarred and feathered for using the term illegal alien. But, you know, depending on who it comes from, sometimes when these people yell at you and scream at you, it's a badge of honor, okay? But we joined a coalition of conservative groups to call out the spending. To call out to say, if you're going to do this, make sure it helps people. Right now, you've got people collecting an extra $600 a week in unemployment. For some people, that's more money than they were making prior to the economic downturn. That's wrong. That's an unintended consequence. Okay. So we want to keep an eye on the spending. We want to make sure that it's done responsibly. Our members are very nervous about all the debt that we're getting into, rightfully so, and the debt that we're saddling our children and our grandchildren with. This is, I think, the late Senator John McCain referred to debt like this as generational theft. And we've got to take a look. And it is generational theft when you look at it through the lens of what the Democrats want to do. Nancy Pelosi is putting in. They're looking to corrupt the election process with same-day voter registration, no IDs. This is all in their proposal that the Democrats are I think they're voting on it today, and it should pass the House because they have the majority. It will go nowhere in the Senate. But you have to keep an eye on these people. And we're acting as watchdogs, as you mentioned before.
All right. AMAC Action is joining all kinds of groups doing all kinds of good things. AMAC Action joins 31 organizations in urging Congress to reject bill that would open the door to Medicare for all. This is serious, sir.
Oh, this was a no-brainer, okay, taking a look at that. That bill itself would just expand Medicaid and Medicare for everybody, and it would rob the fund. It would push up the insolvency date for Medicare. This bill was sponsored by two Democrats, one out of Washington State and Joe Kennedy out of Massachusetts. Okay, it would immediately enroll millions of people in Medicare. All right, and it would eliminate Medicare premiums for current and future beneficiaries, and in the process, starve the supplementary Medicare Insurance Trust Fund of tens of billions of dollars in revenue each year. This is, without question, an on-ramp to Medicare for All, and it would throw gasoline on a insolvent fire that's been burning for years. So this, you know, when this came across our desk, and we joined organizations like the American Conservative Union, the American Consumer Institute Center for Citizen Research, Americans for Tax Reform is on this, so our Americans for Prosperity, the Club for Growth, the Heritage Foundation, Heritage Action, which is their advocacy arm, Freedom Works. So it's a who's who of conservative organizations that AMAC is proud to join to send a letter, to send a letter to Congress to tell them, do not support this. Don't even come close to it.
Because what really happens if you do that is really it becomes the insurance de facto, and Insurance for All is next, right?
You betcha. That's exactly what it is, Sam. You've identified it correctly.
And this is important to understand that we don't believe in that in America. Okay, we believe in free enterprise. We believe in independence and private sector business. I get that there are some exceptions that we've already kind of backed into that we got to deal with delicately. I understand. But I also understand that just because, the camel's got what, his nose in the tent, that doesn't mean that we just need to go whole hog on solutions that we know from historical experience that are not good for the greatest country on the face of the earth. It's that simple. And this generated wisdom of the think tank called AMAC. And I don't know if I should be calling it that, but I mean, this is some of the wisest people that have been on the planet the longest, all chiming in here with their views. This is straight from the people, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? There's 31 conservative organizations, and AMAC joined saying, hey, we got to not open the door to Medicaid, Medicare, whatever for all. This
Absolutely
is serious.
Not. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's an important thing to understand. Now, you bring up something else on your website that I want to highlight, too. I mentioned that I did not have the corona. One of the things that people are overlooking is now that everything is identified as corona, I mean, it's kind of a joke a little bit. Whenever something bad happens, I'm like, it's because of the corona. It's just a little joke going, come on, everything's not because of the corona, folks. But I bring this up because in the elderly populations, there's a lot of people that need services and need not only financial support, but need medical support, etc. We have jettisoned all that because of the corona crisis. And there's a lot of deaths and a lot of suffering that's happening because people can't get the normal services that they desperately need in. This needs right. to be highlighted. When we get back, you have a headline called Be Prepared, Not Scared. I want to talk about that because it kind of makes full circle the opening salvo that I had on these topics. There are other issues and they're not all corona related and people need attention here. We'll talk about it on Liberty Roundtable Live with Andy Mangione live. AMAC, AMAC.us on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live with Andy Mangione, Vice President of the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC.us. You know, I get that the coronavirus seems all-encompassing and everything, but I also get that there are a lot of people that are seniors and people with underlying health conditions that truly need attention here, folks. You know what? Sadly, I'm one of them. And we need to be prepared, not scared. But we also need to realize that, you know, we can't just ignore these people. How many deaths are happening from suicide, from isolation, from elderly people who need services and operations and they're not getting the things that they need. They can't really go to the doctor if they have heart problems because it's like, oh man, you don't dare go. You might end up with the coronavirus. And so people are scared to the point where they're not even willing to consider going in. And this has repercussions that we cannot ignore, Andy.
Absolutely. They're not counting those deaths. So you've got people that are not getting those cancer screenings. Okay. People that might not be getting that stress test because they're afraid to go in. And these are going to be people in the older age demographic. They're afraid of getting the COVID, okay, if you will. And what's happening is some of these people are suffering the consequences. They normally would be taking care of themselves, but you know, first of all, you had well visits canceled, okay. And on top of that, the fear mongering by the mainstream media is putting these people, though maybe they'll just wait to get their blood tested. Maybe their diabetes is out of control. Maybe their meds need to be adjusted. Okay, they need a higher dose of an anti-diabetic medication. And they're not seeing the doctor or going to the labs to get these tests done. And some of these people are passing away. And that we have to keep that in mind.
And or some of these people are getting unnecessarily, is the word more sicker? No, more sick.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say
yeah.
More sicker or sicker, more sick because they're not able to adjust things that they need and or spot something early and or, I mean, I could go on and on. I'm not even a medical professional, but this is something serious that we need to really pay attention to, folks, and sooner than later, because we're creating
an
underlying crisis in and of itself, Kurt.
One of the things that's amazing, Andy, to me is that we've been hoping for cures for so many diseases for a long time, and apparently the coronavirus has almost cured I don't know how many different diseases because, right. You know, people just don't have those anymore. It's just all coronavirus.
Either that or big old lies coming out of the media and the statistics there now. All right, whoops. Rush Limbaugh, is he a member? We need to make. I got to call my buddy Rush and tell him to become a member of AMAC if he's not already.
We need to get him formally on board. He might be. We just may be unaware of it. We've talked to Rush before.
Yeah. You know? Anyway, Rush bringing up a couple of topics that are interesting. Kurt, you got two stories in a row from Rush. These are worth talking about, I think, with Andy as well.
Very good. One of them says, he says, I wouldn't pay taxes in Democrat lockdown states. These next 4 months are going to be a veritable war like we have not seen. That's according to Joe Kovacs at WorldNet Daily. As an exclusive there.
And I want to walk back that a teeny bit and saying, you know, I don't want to advise people to not pay taxes and then get sideways with your government and lose your house and everything else. So, you know, how much tongue-in-cheek this is debatable. But his point is they're going to spend us into oblivion, and he's saying we've got to push back. I want to walk back that we're not going to pay taxes idea because I think that's irresponsible, and you lose a lot of things. Look, you can't take on the IRS by yourself. You'll just get crushed. But at the same time, his point is very poignant, Andy.
Yeah, you know, conservatives realized that you have to pay for government. We need infrastructure, okay? We need the basic necessities taken care of. We need bridges built, roads paved. We know that you have to pay for government. We live in a representative republic, okay? So conservatives have never been about paying taxes. It's been about how much and how the money is spent, and I think that's what this gentleman is getting at. We've never advocated for not paying taxes. People go to jail for doing that, and we realize that, you know, in a representative republic, people have to be taxed to take care of the basic necessities. We need that, we need that infrastructure support. We need some regulation to make sure that the playing field is leveled. Okay, we can't have out of control entrepreneurs, if you will. Okay. But the rub and the argument has always been in how much regulation, how much money, and how is it going to be spent?
And most importantly, what checks and balances and proper role of government guidelines will be used to determine all of that? And Rush Limbaugh basically is talking about this idea that we have an unavoidable war on our hands coming up here. And that point, I think, is exactly right. We do. We have an epic battle about where are we going to go as a nation? Are we going to lockdown, or are we going to be like Sweden and not lock down? Are we going to let people decide for themselves? Are we going to fund ourselves into a socialist, quote, utopia? Or are we going to step back and go, wait a minute, that's not what our founding fathers believed in. That's not what we believe either. We're going to carry forward their legacy. Where are we going to go is the real question, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, Russia is spot on. And you mentioned Sweden, and not a whole lot of talk about Sweden, but what they've accomplished in a non-lockdown, looking, you know, comparing their numbers, incidences of the coronavirus, deaths of the coronavirus, and them not being locked down. You're not hearing a whole lot of how well they're doing.
Well, they're doing well, and so is Kristi Noem in South Dakota, and those are two examples of a 180-degree difference from what we've been doing across the country. And you know what? It's hard to argue with the statistics and the facts. They're doing fine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as far as where we're going as a country, people are getting a real eye-opening experience here. President Trump delegated to the in a constitutional way to the governors. And what we're seeing is leftists, progressivism, liberalism, socialism, whatever ism you want to call it, on display here. And people are, and they don't like it. That's why you're seeing protests in Michigan and protests in Ohio, protests throughout the country. People, all they want to do is go back to work. They want to earn a living. They have mortgages to pay. They have, you know, they have food to put on the table. They don't want to take money from the government. They just want to go back to work. That's what this is all about. And you're right. It is going to be a fight for the direction of the country. And this is an election year. And people are realizing that maybe this whole pandemic, the whole reaction to the pandemic, okay, at least initially, we didn't know what we were dealing with. As we got more and more information, I think people are realizing that this sustained reaction is politically motivated.
All right, like Kurt, Obama is getting hammered by Limbaugh. Justly.
Well, so that's right. The headline from the World Net Daily Staff says, Limbaugh hammers Obama for directing collusion coup to oust Trump. Subheadline says, former pres now complaining about coronavirus to deflect attention from Russia scandal.
Well, the Russia scandal, we've been telling you this forever, folks, is the scandal that never was. And we're seeing more and more and more and more evidence about how dishonest and immoral and irresponsible, and I mean, I can go on and on and on. Rogue agents throughout government, the swamp, if you will, has been, Andy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is. How long have you been talking about this? For 3 years, and you've been right as rain.
Unfortunately, yes, sir.
Exactly right. You know, I mean, it, every step of the way. I remember watching the inauguration, Sam, and watching how gracious President Trump and President Obama was with that transfer of power. I remember right before. Watching this, I made a point to watch this right before President Obama and the First Lady, Michelle Obama, got on the helicopter to take off. President Trump, they shook hands, and President said to him, "You are a great man." Okay, and that was, I think that was one of the last things he said to him that day before the transition was complete. little did the president know that, we can't expect President Obama to be thrown in jail about this, no matter how much evidence they have against him. But I did read, and I've looked at Rush's, what he was talking about. He says it's important to point out what he did. And
I agree.
To shine light on who these people are.
Without a doubt.
And he's running around saying this is a scandal-free administration like they always do with Democratic administrations, and it wasn't. Okay, and the names are being named. I don't know if anyone's going to go to jail. If somebody does, it'll be somebody we haven't heard of.
And here's my response. I hope we have accountability. I hope we afford due process for all involved. I hope we have speedy, appropriate, transparent trials. And I hope that we never put any innocent in prison. But I hope we do create complete accountability for those who are bad actors. Because you know what? That's how we're going to correct this going forward. And I want to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law those who are needful to prosecute. And to convict, but I want to follow the procedure. Even if I don't agree with these guys politically, I still want them afforded all the opportunities the founding fathers intended.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's a lot of nervous people right now lining up lawyers and just we're waiting to see who's going to cut the deal first. But this is going to come out. It is out. And I would say that it'll probably knock the coronavirus, off the main headlines for a while. Yeah, I'm sure the mainstream media is going to do everything that they can to ensure that the coronavirus dominates. But this is something that's not going to go away anytime soon. It's only going to get, there's only going to be more exposure with this.
Roger that, sir. All right, Kurt wants to end the hour with an incredible senior that's 77 years old.
Well, that's right.
77-year-old barber, Kurt.
And he's basically saying he doesn't want to this is the headline from the Western Journal. 77-year-old barber vows to stay open during Whitmer lockdowns, says I'll be open until Jesus walks in.
I love it. Where he's in Michigan, obviously, right? Okay, I wonder where he is. Well, you should.
He's in Michigan, right, Kurt?
Yeah, I think it's Governor Whitmer, as far as I know, is up there.
Yeah, Whitmer's a nutcase, man.
Yeah, boy, she is. I love it.
Anyway, he's a little bit joking, but he's a little bit serious. And you know what? I side with the lady in Texas who got in trouble. But then the governor and the attorney general and Texas Senator Ted Cruz stood up for. Ted Cruz even went in and I guess, flew across Texas to go get a haircut from this lady in Commander, and we got her free. And so I don't want people to break the law, and I don't want people to get in trouble and go to jail, but I do believe there's an appropriate amount of civil disobedience here that is necessary, and I think that the Texas example highlights it, and this gentleman's point highlights it, Andy.
I think that, you make good points. Certainly don't want to advocate for anybody breaking the law or any type of violence. But there's nothing wrong with protests.
Well, there's also nothing wrong with people kind of understanding that we have a duty here to preserve our liberty and our free enterprise system and getting back to work and our rights. And, there's a balance. I get it. But at the same time, there needs to be appropriate pushback. I look at the two doctors in Bakersfield that you and I talked about that we highlighted and played their video earlier. We talked about this doctor in California that we mentioned down south in California. Let's see, what was his name? Jeffrey
Burke, I think.
No, that's Deborah Burke. This is Jeffrey
Oh,
Bark.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track. I agree. Jeffrey Bark is this guy. And this guy is saying the same things, and then we find out that he represents thousands of physicians all across the country. Look, we need to push back, and there is an appropriate response to push back. And by the way, through AMAC is a great way. You could take some of their polls. You can get involved and become a member. And you can be part of the great think tank there and then be represented in Washington as an advocacy group to advocate for the proper role of constitutional government to bring us back to a time when America was the best country on the planet. It still is. We just got a little work to do. That's all. Andy, final words yours, sir.
Well, I would just really appreciate the opportunity to talk about AMAC. If people want to join AMAC, they can go to amac.us. That's amac.us. I'll call 888-262-2006. It only costs $16, and we'd love to have you join our growing 2.1 million members across the this great country.
And I like the five-year membership because it's only like $60 or something like that. But then you're in for 5 years. You can get all the benefits. Check them all out at AMAC.us. Get involved in the voting and the think tanks and the forums that are on there. I'm just tremendous associations for all kinds of wonderful conservative people. Andy, thank you, sir. For Sam Kurt and Andy Mangione, ladies and gentlemen, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.